Let's return to Hot Rod Nation Radio on Talk Zone. Once again, here's your host, John Sonnefeld.
Welcome back to Hot Rod Nation, and we're still all hanging out with the Northern Illinois Chevelle Club at one of their monthly meetings. And we've got three guys together with a great story. George had mentioned it earlier about a trip that is an annual rite of passage for a few of these guys. And I've got the guys grounded up around the campfire here, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about an annual trip that they did. And your name is?
John Shipkowski.
Mike Hogan.
Mike Moeller.
And they are a part of the annual pilgrimage to the West Coast, the Southwest, for looking for the rust-free parts. And, John, you're the one started this about two, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's actually probably been 4 years ago now. And started out with three of us where we would actually, the first year, actually, we flew down to Arizona. And we just wanted to get away from the Chicago winter, and we went down in January. And originally we were going to try to go to the Barrett Jackson auction, but we ended up going to some big junkyards and then having a lot of good times in the junkyards.
So you did a whole bunch of cruising to the junkyards. Now, what were you looking for?
We were looking for anything where, since we're, you know, basically Chevelle guys, we were just looking for seeing what kind of Chevelles were still out in the Southwest junkyards.
So basically you flew down the first time. Did you find anything? You're trying to figure out, how am I going to get that on the plane?
Absolutely. We went to one junkyard in particular in Maricopa, Arizona, and it had 8,000 cars in it. And it was just phenomenal. And then we went to a couple other junkyards that were somewhat nearby, and we found that this one guy was especially reasonable with his prices, and we were just beside ourselves that we couldn't take any of this stuff back. And we decided at that point that the next year that we would drive, and we'd try to take some of this stuff back and sell it, use it for our own use, and then sell it and pay for the trips for the next years.
Yeah, well, I wrecked the rental car, too, so we decided that that was a little bit of a liability. Yeah.
So it was no rental car. So what did you guys do?
We had a brand new, it was at a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it had that, they had the Hemi in it, which had just come out. So we decided when we picked that rental car, we changed drivers, the first 5 miles?
Oh, yeah.
That thing was incredible.
Yeah.
And we had a little mishap with it, so we decided that might be better off to drive our own car.
So you guys regrouped, but now you're talking about bringing parts back. And what did that take to do? I mean, you had to organize just a giant wagon train of trailers and cars and trucks, or just take one vehicle?
Well, two of us have Suburbans, and I happen to have an open car trailer. And we decided to take a Suburban down with an open car trailer. And basically, we invited some more people to help defray some of the gas costs. And even though gas at the time was probably $2 a gallon, but again, the main function was to get out of the Chicago winter for a week, and just have some socialization, camaraderie amongst the group, and then pick some stuff up and hopefully be able to sell it to guys back home who could use the parts. And that would then fund future trips.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you're going to all these junkyards. Is there something you guys saw? They're like, I got to have that. How do I get it home?
Yeah, there was all kind of interesting stuff. I had close encounters with wildlife, snakes. And you had to watch some of the yards that you were in, because it was pretty primitive. You don't ever make the mistake of asking for a bathroom when you're in one of those yards, because when they bring you a bucket, well, that's it. But I think the first year that we went down there, when we flew, we actually picked up a Chevy Nova, and we decided we would try to cram parts into it. And then one of the fellows that went with us, who's not here tonight, Vince, actually purchased the Nova, which we were thankful for. Because then we crammed so much crap into that car that I don't know how they got that car on the transporter to bring that thing home. Because I think we put a deck lid in there that, what did we have to do? Did he take the back glass out to get that out? How did he get out of the car? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was a real tight fit, but
yeah,
we got it in there.
It was huge. But that first year we put stuff in luggage. I don't think we had all the tight security that first year in the airports.
No.
Because we had all kinds of trim and you name it, we had it in there. And the second year we came back, we had a big block, and we had hoods and deck lids and sheet metal parts like you wouldn't believe. So, when you bring your own trailer, it's not a problem. We screw around a lot, so, all kind of jokes. And my buddy Mike here taught us how to drive 65 miles an hour for 20 minutes with his eyes closed at 2 in the morning.
So you guys are actually driving down. Do you guys stop on the way? You leave Chicago. You head toward Phoenix. Do you actually stick around? Do you drive it straight down? How do you do it, Mike?
Yeah, the first year we drove straight through, I believe it was 36 or 38 hours. And five of us in the Suburban, we rotate every so many hours, and I taught them the finer art of sleeping and driving at the same time.
It's pretty good. That was my truck, so I was, I was a little nervous about it, but he stayed on the road.
So basically it's just a round robin, get down there, and then you start, is it all mapped out? You just use Arizona, here we are? How does it work, John?
Well, typically what we do, I've been going down to Arizona with my wife for, probably 15 years driving, and she has a cousin in Amarillo, Texas. And so I knew about a really good junkyard down in Amarillo, Texas, which just happens to be on the way. So typically we try to make Amarillo, Texas as our first stop. So that's sometimes, we get there at a reasonable hour. Other times we might have to spend the night if we want to hit that yard. And then from there, takes a lot of internet searching. Besides going to junkyards, we also search the internet for private party items and try to hook up ahead of time.
John and I generally bounce emails off each other probably 2 or 3 months before we make the trip. So when we go down there, we've actually got, it's great that we have the drivers that we have, because the rest of us kind of go through this paperwork. We almost look like really bad accountants. We go through all this paperwork, all this information and data that we've kind of collected for 3 months, and then John is probably, we call him the gentle giant. He's incredible. We literally can knock on somebody's door that is looking to sell a 70 Chevelle Fender, and John is so easygoing that the next thing we know, they're really taking us to their personal collection and showing us, warehouses full of automobiles. And we probably find more parts just by talking to people. I couldn't do that, so that's a specialty of John's. He gets us into trouble because we spent a lot of money.
but it sounds like you're bringing some pretty good values back.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you kind of found a new love for, Granville convertibles.
Yeah, I've liked those cars since I was a kid. When I was a kid, that was a rich, all the rich kids had those. I grew up, my parents, my dad went through a career change, and I was always a car guy, and my mom and dad just, they drove them. That was it. And our cars, when I grew up, the kids called my mom's car the ghetto cruiser. And I used to try to make them park them in the neighbor's driveway because they embarrassed me so much, And I when I went to school, all the kids that had a lot of money, their parents had all these nice big cars, Cadillacs and Granvilles and whatnot. And that's just something that I remember. They had Firebirds and Chevelles. So, yeah, when the opportunity came up, I was able to find actually one for myself. And then John and I bought a car that came out of Colorado and ended up in Wisconsin, and we purchased that one. And a little different than a muscle car. 0 to 60 times. There's a lot of joggers that I can beat off the line. If they're older than 50, I can take them. If they're young guys, struggle, But it's a neat. They're neat cars as well, and they're fairly cheap to come by, and they're out there. We hear a lot of things here in the Midwest about how the cars are disappearing and the parts are disappearing. And I think there's some truth to that. But if you spend the time and look, they're there. You need to know where to look, whether it's spending time on the internet or following up on leads and people you talk to, which John really does really well before our trips. But the project cars are out there. They're still there. The drivers are still out there, and the parts are still out there. I think when you talk about special cars like Hemi Cudas and, Skylark GSs and Chevelle SSs, those are hard to come by, and anybody that has those cars, they're still asking a lot of money for them. But if you're looking just to have cheap fun with a Camaro or, a Chevelle or whatever it might be that's rust-free, they're out there still. And they're out there fairly cheap, and you just got to go find them, and be willing to bring them back.
So a lot of it is the thrill of the hunt then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thrill of the hunt, and it's a chance for all of us to get away from our wives and our kids. And if they happen to be listening to this, my name is Vince Gallagher.
Now, Mike, now you're newly married, so is this a good vacation for you to get away from the new wife?
Oh, she loves it. She says, "Go out and have have fun with the boys, and do your thing."
Now, your car is pretty complete '70s Chevelle. What are you looking for when you go on these trips?
Stuff for my '59 Suburban.
That's a neat one. Are you looking for certain parts? I mean, are you looking for everything? Are you just trying to find maybe another whole vehicle to make a parts car out of it?
Yeah, I'm uncertain right now. My plan right now is to find a later model pickup truck with a flex fuel that's rolled over, body damage. Maybe take the engine and tranny out of that, put it in the Suburban for the family truckster.
That'd be fun. That's interesting.
I think what I found when we go out there is if you're looking for something specific, that usually is the thing that you don't find. Yeah. And you usually run into a whole bunch of things that are just kind of cool. And I think over the years, we brought more of those cool things back and come home empty-handed with the parts that we really needed for our own stuff. And some of those cool things are still for sale in my basement.
And last year was tough for parts.
Yeah.
It was really hard to find parts last year.
Yeah. Typically what we've found is in just the 4 years that we've been going down there is that the junkyards are closing up. There's several big yards that we used to go to, and like I said, just in the 4 years, where they've sold them off for housing developments, etc. So the junkyards have actually dried up in a very short period of time. They're crushing a lot of cars. Steel prices are up. It's kind of sad, but there's still in the Phoenix area, it's kind of phenomenal because if you go to somebody's house, let's say we're looking at a particular car for sale. Let's call it a. I was looking one year. I called the guy about a '72 Chevelle wagon. Just wanted to see it. And so you go to a person's house. Looks like a normal house. And then they open up the garage door, and it typically ends up being some kind of a huge garage. And they have big block walls around their backyards that are 6 feet high, and they tuck cars away back in their yards. So, you know, you start looking at one car, and then you spend 2 or 3 hours at somebody's house, and they're just the nicest people. A lot of them are from the Midwest originally. And, they'll start showing you, hey, but I got this, and I got this, and I got this. And it's just a lot of fun because it's like you mentioned earlier, it's kind of the thrill of the hunt. Some guys go out hunting deer or what have you, and we go out hunting, you know, trying to bag the big ones, so to speak. So.
And most of those people, too, they're not looking at prices like they look for here in the Midwest. You know, we don't run into too many people that have a car. I mean, in most of the cars that we look at are you know, quote-unquote project cars. But they're pretty plentiful there. And the locals in the Phoenix and the Arizona area and the Texas area, they know where to get those cars. And typically, you know, when they talk a selling price, they're not asking for the arm and leg
No.
cost like the folks do here in the Midwest, where the rust-free cars are hard to find. You can actually get a screaming deal down there. If you're willing to take the time, you can buy a better car out west than a comparable car here in the Midwest. You won't spend the kind of money out there that you spend.
You know, 2 years ago, we went to look at just some parts the guy had in his garage. We went to his place, like John said, block wall around it. He came out, we talked to him. He looked like he just got home from painting, construction, normal guy. Opened up his garage door, let us in. He found out we weren't, a bunch of kids trying to do whatever. He had 409 parts all over the place. It turned out he had 50 cars of almost anything you could imagine. And it got you just like a regular, normal Joe. And his garage was impressive. I mean, he was doing work in there that I wouldn't think anybody would do in a garage. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. So you see all these neat stories. You're meeting some great people on the road along the way. But there's got to be some times on the road that get pretty tough. You guys are running straight through and everything. It really comes down to the passion of being a road warrior to do something like this. But there has to be some embarrassing stories that come out with guys on the road for a week.
Only for Vince.
Well, he's not. You know, Vince isn't here, and it's kind of a shame we can't. We can talk about him, right? Why not?
Well, I've got one story. We were in junkyard in Amarillo, I believe it was. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. And there was a little bit of snow on the ground, and it was a sunny day, but there was a little snow on the ground. It was a little slippery here and there. And we were walking around in the junkyard, and we had two-way radios.
So we didn't bring them with.
But we forgot. We left them in the truck. Yep. And Mr. Hogan here had actually slipped on some snow and ice and actually fell.
It was
a hood. And, on a slippery
hood. It was a hood that got buried with about 2 inches of snow.
And I was actually, focused on going, to look at some car that I didn't hear him screaming and yelling. And he was there laying on the ground. His ankle was twisted. And
getting snowed on.
And that's kind of an embarrassing story. I just kind of left him for dead,
so to speak. I watched him as he walked. He just, John, how tall are you?
6'5".
Yeah, he just kind of kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I kept going, John, I might have broke my ankle, John. Jesus, he left me here.
And the buzzards start circling,
and I crawled back to the truck.
Actually, the junkyard had goats that were wandering around in the yard. So they're instead of guard dogs, they're guard goats, I guess.
Now you're finding all this stuff. You're rooting through all these different cars and stuff, and there's stuff in the trunks and all that. What is the most prized thing you found? The rarest thing or the thing you had to have? What is there something like, wow, I can't believe I found one of these?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
59 Chevy deck lid.
Yeah, we picked up a 59 Chevrolet deck lid from a gentleman that we passionately call Green Bay Ray.
Yeah.
And he's a pack rat. I can't throw stones because I am too, but
from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
But he's originally from Green Bay, Wisconsin,
nice guy.
And he's a really nice gentleman. And he's got warehouses full of all kinds of stuff, not just car-related stuff, but just flea market stuff and antiques and things like that.
Pedal cars.
And he took us to one of his storage lots, and we came across this Batwing 59 Chevy deck lid that we just had to have and bring back. So
great trim on it.
So it's one of those things, I have no use for this, but I got to have it and bring it home.
Exactly.
It was just too cool.
Yeah.
We got it cheap, and we're like, yeah, well, we got the room.
Exactly.
We gotta take that thing.
So do you guys take requests from club members and everything? Like, hey, I'm looking for something while you're down there.
We have.
Yeah,
For guys in the club, I know one year we had a club member that really needed doors. And we just, he was a friend of ours, so we comped the doors. We picked up the doors and we comped him the doors. He needed them and we figured out we're there. What the heck?
Convertible hinges.
Yeah, convertible tops for Ford Mustangs.
Monte Carlo hoods.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that. That gets a little bit sticky. We're out there to out there to have fun, primarily to have fun. But our trips, now that we're into our fifth or sixth year, really fund themselves now. And we make enough on parts sales that we can pay the gas bill and actually, the lodging and whatnot to make the next year's trip. And we certainly do like to help everyone we can out. But you always run into guys that they don't understand the concept of, my truck gets, 12 miles of the gallon, and I can't just give you the part for free. And the other thing that's hard is everybody has their own idea what a perfect part is. In this hobby, it's amazing to me. You've got guys that are real educated and know what they're doing, and you got some guys that are kind of educated, and you got guys that just don't understand. When somebody sells you a used part and you say it's from Arizona, it's a used part. It might have a dent in it. It won't have rust in it, but it might have a dent in it that you have to, take care of. And there are people out there that they think that you're going to bring them a perfect piece, and they really don't understand that. So if you end up lining buyers up and that perfect piece doesn't meet their expectations, you're stuck with it. Which is, a pain in the neck. And you can come down to my basement and you can take a look at some of those parts. They're for sale.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a challenge. In fact, we're at one of the members' house now, and he's having his own swap meet out here tonight. There's lots of parts available here. Guys have been buying up stuff left and right. In fact, John, you were doing some rooting around, and you actually found something pretty rare, didn't you?
Yeah, I found a set of NOS exhaust tips for 70-72 Chevelle and 70-72 Monte Carlo. So, and I've got a 71 Monte Carlo, so. I couldn't pass those up.
Yeah, they'll make it on your car in another 5 years.
So plans for this year? You're going back to the same place or doing some other things?
Well, we're going to talk about it. We've got a couple of months to talk about it. And Arizona's kind of dried up as far as the yards. So
Tucson's fine.
They're
grouchy.
Yeah, it's a possibility that we might go to Tucson. We might try to go maybe to... we talked about maybe Texas, staying more in Texas. I found some good places in Colorado, but
And they'll be under eight feet of snow when we go. That's
an issue for the wintertime.
Right.
I think one of our trips, we actually, when we were driving through New Mexico in the middle of the night, it was actually 7 below 0 that one night. So it does get cold out in the desert, but typically we like to go down to the Phoenix area where it's at least in the 60s.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great trip. We guys are going to plan again this year. How fun is that? I mean, you go out, you
blast.
I mean, you get away. You know, it's the camaraderie. But guys, are all part of a car club. You guys get away. You find some parts. You sell some parts. You find some stuff for your cars, and you're away from the winters in Chicago. That's not such a bad deal for a week. You know, and it's a full week. You guys are gone, right?
Yes. Typically, we leave on we try to leave on Friday. But definitely on a Saturday, and we try to come back by the following Saturday or Sunday. So it's about a 7-8 day
too
trip.
Short in the end. That's kind of, when we get back, we're kind of bummed. But worth the trip just for the people that you meet when you're there. And it keeps the hobby, for me, it keeps the interest in the hobby alive. I mean, there's just so much out there. I joked around with a guy, Mark Hockner, that has a yard out there. And the first year we went there, I walked around with my mouth wide open, and Mark came up to me, and he said, "Well, you got this funny, silly expression on your face." And I said, "Mark, I grew up driving cars that were in worse shape than the ones that are sitting in your yard." And it's the things you see, it never ceases to amaze me. And some of the silly things you see, you know, in his yard, he breaks things down manufacturer and in model. And to go by the AMC row and, you know, see just car after car of old AMC Gremlins and AMC Pacers that, quite frankly, here in the Midwest, those cars, they recycled themselves, you know, the first year you drove them in the winter. But to see these cars perfect, you know, it's just, wow, I don't know that I would want one, but just to see them perfect. And that first year, I remember seeing, was it a Wrangler Jean edition or Levi's?
The Levi's
Gremlin.
I got to tell you, that car was ugly when it came out, and it was still ugly in that yard. But the fact that it was there and it was near perfect was just, wow.
Yeah, we've come across things like we found a 55 Chevy four-door Army car, still had the star on the doors.
Yeah.
And it looked like somebody had painted it blue at one point, right over the olive or the olive green or whatever it was,
yeah.
And right over but the sun was fading the blue paint off, and you could see the star serial numbers. Thank you. And that was interesting. In that same yard, we found an early 50s Chrysler.
Now, that was interesting because that year, I tied a business trip that year. And I had a client that worked at Scottsdale Insurance, and he was a car guy. So I took him to the Barrett Jackson. And that year when I walked into the Barrett Jackson, Chrysler was really sponsoring the Barrett Jackson. And as you walked in, they had this big rotating stage that was elevated about 8 feet off the floor. And they had brought one of the Letter Series, it was a 55 Chrysler Letter Series car, 300 car. And the car had 8 miles on it. And it was a car that when it was manufactured, they literally rolled it off the assembly line and put it away, and it was original and never been painted. And there was a Chrysler spokesman that was, you know, standing next to the car as the car spun around, and I got a chance to talk to him, and I asked him, you know, tell me a little bit about the car. And he told me it had 8 miles on it, it had the Hemi engine, the early Hemi engine in it. And I said, well, I'm gonna ask you a silly question, what's a car like this worth, you know? And he looked at me and he said, well, we have it insured for $450,000. I thought, wow. Well, 2 days later, we were walking through a yard, and I was so impressed. That car left really left an impression on me. And we happened to be walking through the yard, and we were in the Chrysler section, and I'm looking at a car, and I'm like, wow, that car looks just like the one that I saw at the Barrett Jackson. I think it was missing in one headlight bucket, and somebody took the rear axle, and the car was sitting on tires. And as I got closer and closer, the hood was open. It was the same car. It was a Letter Series car. The body on that car was perfect. Somebody had taken the axle in a headlight rink, but everything else was there, including the Hemi engine, which was still sitting between the fenders. I was amazed. I was just stunned when I saw that car. It was amazing.
They're almost like priceless memories. I mean, you're creating your own fun. You're planning your own trip, but then when it comes down to the end of the day, you're coming back with some great memories, some great parts.
Yeah.
and you get a week out in the sun, so to speak, if it's not snowing, depending on where you're going at in the higher elevations. I mean, what an opportunity for you guys to go out and do something like this. You know, friends get together and go out and do something like that, and you bring some good parts back, have a little fun with it at the same time. Hey, if you make a little money, that's not so bad either. So I really appreciate you guys spending the time with me tonight. It's been a lot of fun to talk about your junkyard crawl, and I'm looking forward to hearing some more stories of the next one that comes up this year.
We could talk about Vince throwing up in my truck.
No, we could do that too.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like your show featured on Hot Rod Nation Radio, go ahead and send it to HotRodNationRadio.com. Go to the Contact Us section and send your car show and swap meet information in, and we'll get it on the show and on the website. Well, that'll wrap up this week's edition of Hot Rod Nation Radio. Tune in next week, because we never know where I might end up in this nation covering some car show or working with a company or something. Keep in touch with Hot Rod Nation at HotRodNationRadio.com. Remember, take a kid to a car show, because they are our future. I'll catch you next week on Hot Rod Nation Radio.